It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running with a brand new month. A brand new month after a month in which, at the last moment, and by the narrowest of margins, we managed to lick the Lithuanian, nudge the Norsky, and, in fact, cash the check. And thanks to all of our challenge providers for setting those up so that we can have that to work toward. It is Wednesday, the first day of November 2017. And we are streaming live, happily and hot, straight, and true at headon.live and headonradionetwork.com via whiteRoseSociety.org. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this November of 2017 begins at midweek. It begins, in fact, on a Wednesday, and we know what that means. But before I say anything about that, I will simply note that this would have been my father's 93rd birthday. And, well, daggummit, not a day goes by that I don't miss it. Not a day goes by that I don't think about it. So, happy birthday, Dad. You good, good, very good man. And like I said, it's Wednesday. But before we get into all that entails, a couple of notes. It's a little bit bizarre to explain. But the way the setup is here, I do certain things with certain computers, and so I rely on my tablet for my email. And yesterday, as the program began, I was, I was trapped by an update to the to iOS 11.0. Who knows? And so I couldn't access anything on it. Well, with that being said, thanks are due and owing. They most assuredly are. Thanks going out yesterday to everybody who knocked down the last remaining deficit. Thanks to Larry and to Joy. Thanks to Kenda so much. Thank you very kindly to Tracy, who jumped in and sent me a note. Thank you to Kay. And thanks very much as well to Paula, and thanks very kindly to Andy. Those are all the folks who got us to the end of the month in the black. And that means thanks now go out to those who have started the month with us. And so the following are our first of the month subscribers. Thank you to Patrick in Germany. Thank you very kindly to Lauren in Alberta. Just returned from a trip, I think. And thanks to Vernon in California. And thanks very kindly to Peter in Texas. Thanks to Brock in PA. Thank you, Brock. And thanks to Smitty in Florida. And as well as to Bob in North Carolina. And thank you, finally, to Anne-Marie. Thank you, Anne-Marie, in lovely New Orleans. Thank you, one and all, for getting us started and keeping all of this going. This being the first day of the month, we have, Bruce's, i.e. Shirley's, Memorial Challenge on the table, maintained in memory after the passing of our good friend Bruce in Wisconsin. And so thanks to Ralphs and to Laborman and one anonymous contributor, the challenge continues so that if we raise our regular $200 tonight, well, that $200 will be doubled via the challenge. So thank you very much, both the challengers, and hopefully the challengees will rise to the occasion, and we will get the month off rolling right, because things like that make a huge difference down the road. Now, program note, gentle reminder, no program next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, no program. I'm in D.C. with the AIC campaign, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign, and we're working on a pretty big deal, and we will we'll be sharing the science that has been suppressed by the Trump administration, and we'll also be streaming that out over Facebook Live. Maybe Periscope too. I'm not sure. It's sort of a capacity thing. I don't mean bandwidth. I mean the ability of how many people we have willing to hold how many phones pointed at the right. Yeah. All right. I'm here. I'm seeing so no program next week. And what we're going to try to do is do a little bit of enhanced funding for tomorrow and Friday, and that'll help take care of some of the overage that we'll miss out on next week. Okay, I don't know. That's strange. White Rose Society should never have gone away. I haven't had even so much as the first blip of buffering, so I don't know what to tell y'all. Except I'm sorry. Now, where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us with prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes, and we've got stories, and they're kind of out of the ordinary. They're not your typical prayer meeting Wednesday. I mean, we've got some typical prayer meeting Wednesday stories. Oh, God knows, we most assuredly do. But we've got other stuff as well. But of course we had. I should mention. Okay, thanks for letting me know, Randy. The White Rose Society stream just buffered completely out. I got nothing. I got no idea why that would have happened. Never, okay. I'm sorry. Hopefully it'll come back. I'm proud to say that that Ben Birch has finally, he was finally successful in finding a job. God knows, somebody, well, he's brilliant. He's a genius. And it's about damn time somebody has, some corporation had the common sense to hire him. So it'll be kind of tough for me to reach him at this hour. And thanks to Keith. Thank you, Keith, for getting us started this evening. That means only $190 to go in plate passing to match Shirley's challenge this evening. Thank you very kindly, Keith. No, prayer meeting Wednesday-wise, you know, we did. It's the first day of November, and the light is waning. Come Sunday, we will leave daylight savings time and enter standard time. That's that time of year. It happens twice a year when, as my indigenous friends say, only a white man would think you can cut off the end of one blanket and sew it to the other end and have more blanket. It's about the size of it, but that shows up on Sunday morning. So spring forward and fall back. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Robert. Robert in Australia, you dropped out for a moment, but you're back now. Good. I don't know why that was. Must be some more of that internet weather. But the coming of fall, it gets the little old blue-haired ladies going real good. Gets them pondering and thinking sort of autumnal. Okay, that's interesting. Tune In is connected to White Rose, and Asa tells me I'm listening on TuneIn. It's running A-okay. Who knows? But anyway, the little old blue-haired ladies down in the fellowship hall, down in the basement of the Cathedral of Common Sense. And so, consequently, they start thinking about things that sort of no longer the light and tingly and summer like fair. No, we're moving into the hearty segment of the Fellowship Hall recipe book. Yeah, and the little old blue haired ladies whooped up. Whooped up a batch of chicken stew, and with the corn and the green beans and the lima beans and a little bit of saffron in the broth, and yes, it was good indeed. And so consequently, we had that and a big old pan of cornbread. Chicken stew is real, real hearty. Not as thick as say chicken pot pie or chicken and dumplings, but very so that and a big old hunk of cornbread and you're pretty well ready to go. Of course they had some coleslaw going on the side there, and then of course they never shirk on the dessert end of things. No, little old blue haired ladies couldn't do that. They are genetically predisposed to dessert. And so, consequently, the big old bundt cakes from the fluted bundt pan with the crispy cinnamon stuff in the middle of the yellow buttery cake. I gotta tell you the deacons made short work of it, brethren and sistren. They made short work of it indeed. And so consequently, having done that, they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and out the vestibule and took to chain smoking out in the parking lot with the sinners. Oh, yeah. And that's where we found them. It is. And by the way, am I to understand from you, Silent R. Lamar, that it is your birthday as well today? Well, you're in mighty good company sharing a birthday with my dad. Happy birthday, Silent R. Lamar. Happy birthday indeed. And there they stood, not even bothering to flick their bigs, just lighting one cigarette off the last one, trying to get enough nicotine in their systems to make it through 3 long hours in the cathedral without a break. But as regular as the sunrise and the changing of the seasons, Sister Carol Baker appeared at the door of the vestibule. And she had that solar-powered horn cattle prod in hand. And it was crackling. And the tip was a-glowing. And she just sort of waved it at him. And the deacons, they took off and they come a-running. Some of them didn't even bother to crush out their cigarettes. Some of them had cigarettes that was not even a third smoked. But they know what that solar-powered cattle prod means, and it'll get a deacon going. And so it was, they blew past Sister Carol, and they blew through the vestibule, and they blew past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and they blew down the center aisle, and they grabbed up their heavy brass velvet-lined collection plates with the little PayPal button in the bottom. It's wireless, you see. We got all kinds of fancy technology here in the cathedral. And as a consequence, well, they're standing right here in front of me now. And they're waiting, brethren and sistren, they're waiting for me to give the word. They're waiting for me to call up the minister of music. And they're waiting for the offertory hymn. Yes. And so with that in mind, brethren and sisters, they're going to start moving among you as we begin the singing. They'll keep moving. They'll pass the plate. You just, with every head bowed, every eye closed, except the one that you keep scrunched open so that you can see the plate coming at you and not take one in the side of the noggin, and just push the PayPal button and move on. Brethren and sister, and I'm going to call up the minister of music and ask him to lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest. he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ching, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, welcome, brethren and sister, and heck, glory to the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hallelujah, amen. I'm a-calling on you, brethren and sister, to get up out of your seats and onto your feet. I'm asking you to wiggle and to waddle and to wobble. I'm asking you to move without rhythm so as not to attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees. Ha! Glory! And lay your hands upon the subwoofer that sits there on the altar and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, live from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Amen, brethren and sistren. Amen and amen. I'm here to tell you, brethren and sistren, that we are in perilous times. We are. Ain't no getting around it. Some might even say the times we are in are apocalyptic. Yes, apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. It was just last week. It was just last week, brethren and sister, that great man of God, Jim Baker, used he used apocalyptic language to declare that we here in the United States are in the deep stuff. Glory, amen. He used his Holy Ghost power prophesying to tell people exactly where we are. Mm-hmm. And where we are ain't somewhere we want to be. Yes. Let's go now to Brother Jim Baker for a moment of prophecy to begin the program, shall we?
This white horse is the very first seals. We've talked about the white horse a lot.
Well, he was close. It's not white horse, it's white fish. White fish energy and they were the but he's talking about your revelations there. And behold, I saw a pale horse. And hell rode with him, and his name was Death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whitefish energy is another thing. That's what happens with your prophesying every now and then. Sometimes your prophesying wires will get crossed up, and you'll get the wrong message. So he's going to talk about the white horse from the Book of Revelations, when in fact the real problem is with the white fish. But never mind.
No, the white horse is riding. The white horse is just galloping, fast speed. And
did you ever notice that Jim Baker sounds a little bit like Christopher Walken when he gets worked up? The white horse is galloping. I don't do a very good. I can't do. It's not even any good. I can't do Christopher Walken, but you can just hear a little bit of Christopher Walken in it. You know, have you ever seen anybody? Have you ever seen a horse slowly gallop? No, me neither.
White horse is the spirit of the Antichrist. I believe this with all my heart. I have such a long teaching on it. If you get my teaching series on Revelation, you can go ahead and study it with and all the detail of it.
Yeah.
But the white horse is that spirit of hatred, that spirit to conquer with verbal. What's going on?
My goodness.
Look at what's going on in Hollywood.
He is impressive. The white horse is verbal. Look at what's going on in Hollywood. There he was last week, a prophesying Kevin Spacey, who played verbal Kent on The Usual Suspects. Well, this is just spooky. We're a day late for spooky.
I think God's judgment is coming to California. I believe God's judgment is on Hollywood. Hollywood and California has been on fire.
Yeah.
And is this God's judgment?
No, it's a fire, Jim.
You figure that out. But the fires are in the hills all around Hollywood.
Well, it's so sad.
You know,
in the movie studios right there. They've been up all around there. Overlooking where we were married, actually.
Yes. Burbank, yeah.
Burbank. So.
Really? They were married in Burbank. Beautiful downtown Burbank. And, well, Burbank will never be the same for me. We'll always have Burbank.
I believe we're seeing the judgment of God. And I believe, and you'll see it as we go along with this, that there's going to be earthquakes in the East or the West Coast. Both coasts are going to have earthquakes, but the West Coast, I believe.
That's going to be interesting in East Coast. You know, in the age of fracking, anything is possible. It's not that anything's possible through God or anything. No, anything's possible through fracking. We've got East Coast earthquakes now, thanks to fracking. I don't know. That feels a little bit like prophetic cheating. Yeah.
Steve is going to be one of the big, big things happening next. So we have so much, you know, and I'm not going to talk about the four horse today because it's just too much.
Four whores? What? Jim, you haven't been going to naughty places again now, have you?
Bring in, it'll take me years to get through it all if I'm not careful. But this is the white horse today. This is the warfare of information age. This is the warfare of destruction from television, from Hollywood. And what are they doing to our president? Have you ever seen a president so crucified?
No.
By words?
Absolutely not.
They're
crucified by words. You know, that doesn't hurt near as bad as getting crucified by your nails. No. Getting crucified by nails is smart more painful than getting crucified by words. But then again, I guess Comrade Kumquat is he's kind of a delicate little snowflake, so getting crucified by words. And as Stephen New York points out, he's prophesying earthquakes on the West Coast. Wow! There have never been earthquakes on the West Coast! Sheesh. Steve also noted, praise the flying spaghetti monster. The pernicious pumpkin from last night healed my lumbago. It's Merkel. Thanks so much, Uber Rabbi Kincaid. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome, Steve. And by the way, since I didn't mention it, and I should, the scientists there at Horn Labs work really, really hard, and they deserve to have that work mentioned. Well, if the pernicious pumpkin has not quite gotten around to healing your lumbago, well, let me just suggest for you, new from Horn Labs, for a limited time only, like no time at all. Well, a new formulation from Horn Labs. A new bullshit nutritional supplement made with the Horn Family Community Congregation in mind. That's right. That's right. I'm talking about here on All Souls Day, that's tomorrow. Here on All Souls Eve, recombinant radish from Horn Labs. Yes, it comes from a root vegetable, and this is root vegetable season. Recombinant radish from Horn Labs will put a zip in your step. And it's great for your sinuses. You know, I've never cared much for radishes, and so to this day, I can only get my daily nutritional fill of radish goodness with recombinant radish from Horn Labs. Recombinant radish combines all of the goodness of radishes with the deep subcellular operation of recombinant DNA to provide a nutritional uplift that you can see with your own very eyes. When if you order now two bottles for the low price of only $62, well, you'll get a little bundle of test strips so that you can use on your recombinant radish to see exactly what I don't mean. That's right. Operators are not standing by. This is not a free call. Recombinant radish from Horn Labs, because you can't be a real live, honest-to-goodness radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to offer up to the credulous and the gullible. And that's why all of our products at Horn Labs are tested to make sure they are absolutely unreal. Because we don't have any credulous and gullible people here in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Recombinant radish, only from Horn Labs. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, are these recombinant radishes genetically modified? Because if that's the case, I'm out. You should know better by now, Brother Deacon Asa. Recombinant radish is gluten-free, vegan, GMO-free, cruelty-free, free-range. Did I miss something? Absolutely no genetic modification whatsoever, because, you know, there are no radishes either. Because, like I said, it's a bullshit nutritional supplement from Horn Labs. Yes. Okay, I got nothing here. I have no idea why White Rose Society is doing what it's doing. If it's being kind of a pain in the ass, just go over to headon.live and enjoy the program there. As Arthur points out, Jim Baker could sleep talk his hustles in bed, and his wife would sleep charge it on her credit card. Yeah. She likes to go into town, down to beautiful downtown Burbank, and do some shopping from time to time. Yes, she does. But just to wrap up with Brother Jim here, who doesn't have any sacred pudding to sell this evening, apparently.
Information age. This is the warfare of destruction from television, from Hollywood, and what are they doing to our president? Have you ever seen a president so crucified?
No.
By words.
Absolutely not.
They're determined.
Absolutely not. Jesus, what's he married to, Droopy Dog? I just happen to remember 8 years of word crucifixion, courtesy of people like Jim Baker himself against the Kenyan Muslim usurper. Mm-hmm. I remember them doing, because they're Christians. I remember them doing, what was it, not intercessory prayer, but... prefacut, no. Well, anyway, that kind of praying you do when you're trying to pray somebody to death. Yeah, they these good, fine, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians prayed for Barack Obama to die in office. But on the other hand, a walking bag of felonies like Tangerine Tiberius comes along, and, well, he's being crucified by words. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they are going to get him impeached.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
They're still talking about it.
Oh, yeah, imprecatory prayer. That's the one. Thank you, Stephen New York. Imprecatory prayer.
Others have even, this last few days, have filed more impeachment papers against our president.
Well, they're...
It's insane.
Yeah.
They have no basis to base it on.
No.
But rhetoric and words.
Right.
It's only words. Words like are on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. It's only words. Words like emoluments. Words like treason. Words like collusion with words like Russians. It's only words.
Anti-American spirit.
That's right.
You see this in the world today.
Yeah, words. You see words. And I can confirm that there are a lot of words in the world today because, well, I'm a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing. And thanks to our dear friends over at Right Wing Watch, who have, I guess, people on... I hope they're on the payroll. I hope this isn't volunteer work. Taking one for the team, watching this drivel day in and day out. Oof. And that takes us, of course, to someone we haven't heard from in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about disgraced former military chaplain Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt. Mm-hmm. You know, if you'll just drive down to the Schlossen Cutoff and get out and cut off your Schlossen, your Klingenschmidt will clear right up. Well, there's a radio program out there called Vocal Point. Now, there's some words. Vocal Point. Who knows? You know, they have dreams, these Christians, and behold, I want for you to start a tax-free radio program called Vocal Point. Yes, Lord, yes. And, Chappie is still stinging a little bit from the fact that the people of Colorado were briefly willing to let him go and sit in the legislature. In the lower house, but they were not quite willing to let him go and sit in the Colorado State Senate because he had dreams. He was going to catapult from Colorado State Senate to maybe senator or member of the House of Representatives, and then God was going to make him the anointed president of the new United States of America. Only God didn't quite come through. Note coming in from Scott and Punky. Jesus update and in other theological news, Jesus is returning. Yes, friends, he's back from the dead. No word yet whether he's a fast zombie or a slow zombie, but zombie he is. Anyway, Chappie has plans for our government, which has a constitutional provision that says there shall be no religious test for holding office. Well, okay, you don't need a religious test if you just sort of take over the government, right?
What would you say to those Christians, and it would be hard to believe somebody would still say this in the year of our Lord 2017, Christians have no right to be in politics?
Well, I think that's foolish. The Constitution says the opposite. The Constitution says there shall be no religious litmus test for public office.
Right. That means you can't ask somebody if they're a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or an animist. No, you can't do that. By the way, have I gone deaf in my right ear, or did they apparently there at vocal point. They only make their vocal points in the left channel.
So if you're Muslim or Jewish, you have a right to run for office. But if you're Christian, I think you have an obligation to serve your country in some way. I think, God's word, the Bible, commands us. And I remember when Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, he said,
"The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you." No. He didn't say that in the Lord's Prayer.
"Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Up in heaven, God already rules. But down here on earth, it's not always the case. There are some places where God's will is not done. We read about sin every day in the newspapers. Just look at what happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That was not the will of God. So we need to stand up for what is the will of God and bring his will down here to earth the same way it's already being done in heaven. And I think one way to do that is to get involved in politics. The church should become the state. The church should take over the government.
Is it just me, or does that give you a case of the squirts? The church should become the state. L'état, c'est l'église. Right? Something like that in French? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I was kidding. Steve noting, "For shame, there are no Christians in office. Whatever shall we do?" Except for the fact that the vast majority of the members of the government of the United States profess to be, Christians of one sort or another. But there's Christians and there's Christians, and your Roman Catholics and stuff, they don't count with Chappie there, and he's not any too sure about those whiskey Episcopals neither. Nor your Frisbyterians, nor your Lutherites, the only true religion is the true religion o' Chappie. The church should become the state. The church should take over the government. Got a match? Because they'll be needing some matches. Because that tends to be what, right? That's an interesting argument to make here in the year of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. As our buddy the Angry Indian points out, where did we hear this before? Yeah, I think it'd be a shorter list if we made one of where we didn't hear this before. There's other languages. How about we say Gott mit uns, God with us? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh says, "I keep telling you, Bob, a slow rolling theocracy is what these sumbitches want. I'm not feeling too good about the state of Gideon." Nor me neither. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, Vocal Point must be modeling their broadcast. Actually, that wasn't Vocal Point's fault. I just realized that it's a two-channel affair, and I had the wrong two channels up. That was I rescind my technological slander of the broadcast skills of Vocal Point. Yeah, that was entirely my fault. See, I'll bet. We'll just do
those Christians in it.
Yep, both channels. It was me. Must have been a demon. Damn things, all over the place. You can't walk from the studio to the kitchen without stumbling over a little demon around here. But listen, okay. So this guy's a loon. He's a real Lulu. But just because he's a Lulu, he's the Lulu who's saying things that the rest of them are thinking. There's not a Baptist minister out there that doesn't think the world would be a better place if he was doing Jesus's bidding by telling the rest of us how to live our lives. That's why he got into the business of being a Baptist minister in the first place. And Chappie's like that too. You know, if only he could have the absolute power of government, he could force all those Homer sectionals to be all straight and stuff, like him, a manly He-Man man. Mm-hmm. Oof. Oh, and as we move toward the end of the lesson here, nice observation there, Robert in Australia. So, God's too lazy to run the planet? He runs heaven, but he, she, it is unable to run the planet? Come on, God just needs to will it, and it should happen. As for the church becoming the government, what he really means is him becoming the government. I think you've got the gist of it pretty squarely there, Robert. Meanwhile, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, let's toddle on over to Dallas, where there's a guy in a dark suit with a polka dot tie, and he runs one of the largest gospel sharp outfits in the entire state of Texas, one of the larger in the country among the Baptists. And just like Jim Baker, he's all worked up about Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know why Harvey Weinstein did what he did? Oh, sure, you're probably going to say because he's some sort of sick perv. No. That ain't why Harvey Weinstein done what he done. Harvey Weinstein done what he done. Well, we'll let Robert Jeffress tell us.
Our founders were clear. In the First Amendment, they said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Our forefathers came from a country where there was a state church and people were coerced to worship.
You dumbass. Our founding fathers didn't come from a country. They didn't get off the boat and write the Declaration of Independence. They were born here. Every last one of them. Almost, I think. Pretty sure. They weren't escaping religion. No, goddammit. There's a big difference between 1607 and 1620 and 1776. Think about that for a minute. There had been the North American Atlantic coastal area had been subject to settlement by white Europeans. Well, if you take 1607, for 159 years. That's the same span of time as between now back to the pre-Civil War Buchanan administration. Mm-hmm. But, no, according to Robert Jefferson, they were still stinging from the lash of religious intolerance in England, and they were all pilgrim fundamentalists. Never mind the fact that these were men of the Enlightenment age who had next to nothing whatsoever to do with religion, you know, at all. Beyond commenting on its pernicious influences, that would be your Adams, your Jefferson, your Franklin. Yeah.
Worship in churches they didn't want to be in. That was wrong. Our forefathers said, we want no part of that. And you and I don't want any part of that. But the First Amendment absolutely has nothing to say about nativity scenes or prayers at graduations or Ten Commandment displays.
This is a magnificent display of the deflection and misdirection of the religion, the religious theocratic movement in this country. No, nativity scene does not appear as words in the First Amendment. However, the Anglo-American legal tradition, of which they are occasionally so fond when it's working to their benefit, and about which they scream, "Activist judges!" when it's not, is predicated upon the interpretation of law and the promulgation of those interpretations through judicial opinion. Yes, there are legal codes with the law. There's, you know, we codify the law against stealing. We codify the law against fraud, against murder, against rape, against arson. We codify the means by which people do business with each other in the Uniform Commercial Code. But the fact of the matter is, the Constitution was written to be interpreted. That's why there's a Supreme Court and a federal judiciary in Article 3, which comes before Amendment 1. And as Steve in New York points out, neither does it say anything against Baphomet scenes, Ganesh scenes, or Diwali scenes. Oddly enough, those get people like Robert Jeffers. They get his maiden forms all in a twist, those Baphomet scenes. Interestingly, there's a billboard up in a tiny town in Texas right now that declares our religion doesn't sanction child abuse. Because one of those communities with their independent school district there in Texas recently declared it would be okay for teachers to beat their little scholastic charges. Paddling. Beatings. Administered because children learn better when they're suffering physical abuse. Everybody knows that, right? Beat some algebra into them. That's what you gotta do. But this is their fundamental dishonesty. The First Amendment says very clearly, Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion. It is referred to as the Establishment Clause. And we have, over the course of our history, gone about the business of letting the courts interpret what that means, establishment. And with the exception of these religious maniacs, we have a common understanding that that means that government shall not favor one religion over another. And to that extent, or we can even say that government shall not favor any religion. That government shall not be in the religion business. And so consequently, you wind up with a situation where sauce that's for the goose is also sauce that's for the gander. Which goes back to what Steve pointed out. You want to have a nativity scene at Christmas? Well, that's fine. Then you better be prepared for the Diwali scene at Diwali season. You better be prepared for the pagans and the Wiccans to come and do their thing on the courthouse lawn when it's time for the Fisher King to go down again. And this just drives Robert Jeffress absolutely batshit because he wants to be the established religion. When he says that it's okay for Christianity to be favored with displays on courthouse lawns and so forth, what he's saying is he wants religion, the Christian religion, to be established as a de facto, if not outright, national religion.
There's absolutely nothing to say about that. Our country was founded as a Christian nation. And although we allow and welcome people of all faiths...
Yeah, he just blew right by that one, didn't he? And they take that now as an article of faith. That's the problem insofar as we have a written constitution, so it's not faith-based. Our nation was founded as a Christian nation is probably the single biggest lie that these fools, they're not fools, no, they're not, that these theocrats hustle. You could just, by that logic, since most of the colonists were Christians, They say, well, this country was founded as a Christian religion, founded on the Christian religion. Well, they were also mostly white. So you can say this was founded as a country for white people, and then they'll bring you snacks and Kool-Aid from the Clavern rally across the street from the First Baptist Church of Dallas. It was not founded as anything. Well, that's not true. It was founded as an exercise in mercantilism. It was founded, especially the Virginia Company, as a money-making affair. That's why those idiots sent a bunch of people who had no idea how to till the soil or grow a crop, because they were just going to be like the Spaniards. You know, the Spaniards land in Mexico, and boom, they're up to their short little unbathed eyebrows in gold, and that's what the English wanted too. But they found the wrong indigenous people. And instead, those indigenous people, and we can talk about this because we're coming up on Thanksgiving season, those indigenous people just kept them from starving to death. Then a few years later, they slaughtered a couple of hundred of them and issued the very first Thanksgiving proclamation declared by, I think, William Bradford, governor of the Massachusetts colony, giving thanks unto Almighty God for delivering the heathen savage unto their hands so that they could be chopped and stabbed and shot and burnt and raped and murdered. Yeah, that's your first Thanksgiving. But that Christian nation bullshit is exactly that. It is a line of specious garbage. It's theological excrement. You know, if they're going to make this argument, they should say this country was founded as a white Christian nation. Because under their reasoning, it's true. Because most of the people who came here were white and Christian. And certainly, arguably, a majority of the people who signed off on the Declaration of Independence and even the Constitution were white and Christian. And they probably do believe that's true. They just can't say it out loud, because then the next thing you know, they'll be marching row on row with that treason flag down the center aisle of the church. And it really doesn't look good when the entire congregation of the First Baptist Church of Dallas stands up and starts applauding the Stars and Bars. He's all worked up, Bob Jeffers is.
No faith, this country was founded as a Christian nation. But let me tell you what happened. About 50 years ago, starting in 1962...
They have been hammering on this. I know what's coming. They have been hammering on this since it happened, when they took prayer out of the public schools. You know how much this man knows about prayer in the public schools? Precisely nothing. Because there in his home state of Texas, every Friday night before every football game, every night before every basketball game, at every chance they get, they turn around and they pray to Almighty God. Because the Supreme Court be damned. They're going to worship their God, and they're not going to be religionlessly persecuted for his name's sake. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a fun quote, courtesy of the Angry Indian. Since it is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, Sermons on the Gospel of St. John, Works, Volume 23, page 99. Whoever wants to be a Christian must be intent on silencing the voice of reason. There's your Protestant Reformation for you. But as I've remarked before, there's all kinds of prayer in the public schools. Once upon a time, I even uttered a few of them. We had a daily Bible reading in my high school every school day over the PA system. And then someone would lead the pledge. And then there was the math department and the science department, where every test was accompanied by fervent repetition of prayer. Dear God, I can't remember Boyle's gas laws worth beans, but God, I gotta have a C on this test. Please, Jesus, just let me help. Just help me to get a C. Oh, damn it, it's F? Really, Jesus? F? Because in those moments, you sort of blow past that verse about study to show thyself approved and move into miracle country. Lots of praying in public schools, but back in 1962, what, Pastor Jeffers?
The secularists, the infidels in our country said, let's try an experiment. We're going to see if America can be good without God. That is, instead of abiding by the moral absolutes found in God's word, we'll just let everybody form their own morality.
You know, back before 1962, where being good with God led to things like Jim Crow and enforced closeting and anti-miscegenation laws. And if you want to get esoteric in the legal realm, that being good with God led to things like the fellow servant rule and pure contributory negligence, evil, pernicious doctrines that worked to the harm of countless untold tens of thousands of Americans.
And furthermore, we won't judge anybody else's morality. Everybody is free to decide what's right or wrong for himself.
Not a bad idea, considering that there's a long history, about 2,000 years of Christianity, in which judging someone else's morality leads to things like pogroms and holy wars and witch burnings and inquisitions, which, by the way, the Protestants participated in, too. They were just as good at suppressing dissent and tormenting tormenting the unbeliever as any Catholic ever hoped to be.
You know, the left lately has been all in a dither about Harvey Weinstein. It took them a while to get there, didn't it, Sean? But they finally got there.
Sean would be Sean Hannity, who was there to receive the blessing of the Southern Baptist Pope.
They started slamming Harvey Weinstein and the terrible case of sexual assault that he and others in Hollywood are guilty of. But now just think about this. Who's to say, according to their thinking, that Harvey Weinstein is wrong?
We the people of the United States working on that more perfect union, that's who. Because, you know, we've got these things called laws that say that rape's not okay, that it's in fact a felony, a crime punishable by various sentences in various jurisdictions. We are. That's who. But you've got it there. Did you notice? Did you pick up on it? Harvey Weinstein raped women because there's no prayer in school. See, he's treading a very fine line here. What everybody in that audience, and dear God, I'm looking at a picture of the audience right now, and it looks like the entire contingent of the First Baptist Church of Dallas has white hair. Or, you know, blue, or none. But they understand the code. When he says Weinstein, he's saying Jew. And when he says 1962 and take prayer out of school, he's saying the Jews done it. All right? In a former era, they were more straightforward about this sort of thing. They just said it was the Jews. They blamed Jewish people for the ills that they had brought upon themselves. But now they can't do that because People will get worked up and recognize them for the nasty, racist, xenophobic, anti-Semitic bigots that they are. But if you dig deep, if you get a little bit deeper than, say, the Robert Jeffress types, you'll find it. Because you have to understand, evangelical fundamentalist Christianity is hand in glove in terms of philosophy and doctrine with the people that walk around with those flags with those broken crosses on them. The Hakenkreuz. The swastika. Jeffress just speaks in code. It's like in between, in his breath, in between the words, there are little dog whistles, and the heads are bobbing up and down. And that's right, Marveline, it's the Jews.
Who's to say that it's wrong to sexually assault somebody? Maybe Harvey Weinstein was just following his own morality that he developed for himself.
You know, that Jew morality. They know it, and so does he. Because Harvey ain't saved. Harvey ain't got no close personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't, you know, he don't. Mm-hmm. Creepy, isn't it? It's never been gone. It's been right there with us all along. And I guess, sadly, it always will be, won't it? Unless we call it out. Unless we openly oppose it. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Openly oppose it.
What I'm saying to you is, Harvey Weinstein is no anomaly. He's no accident. He is the natural result of a country that has untethered itself from the absolute truths of God's word.
Absolute truths of God's word, and they begin to clap there in the Baptist church. That's the damnedest thing I ever heard. I went to Baptist church all my little childhood and up into my teenage years, and we were too damn dignified and stuck up and repressed and everything. There wasn't no clapping in our church. What are you people doing? Bunch of heathens. Probably need to be burn them at the stake. Burn a little reverence into them is what I say. Clapping in church. And as Steve points out, wait a minute, all that morality, I seem to remember a biblical story of two daughters liquoring up their daddy to have sexy time with him. Well, there is that.
That is what the truth is.
It is what the truth is. Yes, indeedy. So, as the saying goes, here endeth the lesson. Larry asks, I wonder how much money the good old racist owner of the Cowpunks, Jerry Jones, donates to this fool down there in Big D, a city full of Big D's, and I'm not referring to anatomy. I wouldn't be surprised. If you move in certain circles, you got to do some bowing and scraping in the direction of Robert Jeffress, who was recently endorsed by the President of the United States, I might add. That's kind of worth remembering. So the plates are still passing through the congregation, and here we are at 9 minutes past the hour. And we've still only got Keith's lonesome 10 spot in there. It sure does need some company if we're gonna meet the challenge this evening, Bruce's Memorial Challenge, at the first of the month. Need to round up about 19 more $10 friends to hang out there with Keith. Thanks for getting us started, Keith. And I had a question about first of the month and the Patreon subscribers. I keep track of all of this by keeping track of things as they come in. And so I will not actually see. They take the money out on the first of the month at Patreon. I won't see it here until the 5th. I think, you know, maybe they're just making a little interest on it somewhere along the way. But that's how these things work. So when I get the notification for that, then I'll do the first of the month. The first of the month. Thank you for the Patreon subscribers. And that's how that works. Let's see. A couple of emails, Randy pointing out, not to distract, but we the people of the U.S. supposedly say that you can't have medical marijuana, even though most people have an actual need for it and really, really want it. I know. And in point of fact, we've got, it's one of those silly situations. Here in West Virginia, we got us a brand new shiny medical marijuana law. Now, mind you, the medical marijuana law we're going to have means that can't nobody actually grow their own plants, because that wouldn't be good for you. You might mess up and grow the wrong marijuanas. And you can't actually buy the stuff to smoke it and, you know, roll up a little cigarette of marijuanas and smoke it. Can't do that either. Can't put it in a pipe, put it in a bong, can't put it in a hookah. Can't do any of that sort of thing. But however, it will be possible to take it in pill form, because West Virginia is so used to having its citizens take pills that we can't imagine anything being good for you or even medicinal that ain't in pill form. Or maybe you can get some oil and rub it on you or some tincture. There won't be any edibles. But there may be some oil that you can use in a vaporizing device. But here's the punchline. The bill that became law acknowledges the medical efficacy of cannabis. All right? It acknowledges that it can be medicine. But we have to wait until 2019 for the law to take effect. And it'll only then take effect for people with things like glaucoma and Parkinson's disease. And a very short list of diseases. Anxiety? Fuck it. No, you can't have medical marijuana. You got a pinched nerve in your neck, like me? Nope. Fuck it. You can't have it either. But here's the funny part. This is the punchline. For all the people that law acknowledges have a legitimate need of medical marijuana, medical cannabis, even though the law has been passed and signed into law by the governor, all of those people who have a legitimate need for medical cannabis between now and 2019 have to, wait for it, remain criminals. Isn't that about the dumbest damn thing you've ever heard, short of not just legalizing it and making it and making it legal for recreational and medicinal use, and having a giant, great big, humongous economic boom here in a state that wouldn't know an economic boom if it knocked on their door at sunrise? We'd be the only state in the Mid-Atlantic region with legal cannabis. And guess what? West Virginia is within 8 hours of about 50 million people, a significant number of whom would like to be able to obtain legal cannabis and enjoy it, and maybe enjoy it while they're right here in the Mountain State. Oh, but no, we've got Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans. I don't know if we got any Lutherans. In our legislature, we got Pentecostals in our legislature. We've got former prosecutors who don't want to open the doors to a gateway drug like the marijuanas. And so instead, we'll just make people criminals. Mm-hmm. Ron and Raleigh, speaking of anniversaries, today's the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. I guess that's tangentially religious. Ain't nothing tangential about it, Ron. This is the 100th anniversary of a whole shitload of problems. Mm-hmm. you know, that weren't problems before, that we just turned into problems. Right. Robert in Australia, subject line, beating school children. I was sent to Catholic school during the 60s and 70s. This was at a time when the nuns and brothers and lay teachers could not hit you across the hand or buttocks with a bamboo cane. When they could hit you across the hand or the buttocks with a bamboo cane whenever they felt like it. They stopped hitting you around 16 or 17 years of age because by then you were large enough to hit back, and by then you felt like it as well. At the end of 13 years of Catholic education, I only had two teachers for whom I had any respect. Both were good at teaching, and neither one ever hit me. As far as I'm concerned, if you're a teacher and you hit a child, you're not a teacher, you're just a thug. As for prayer in schools, I had 13 years of it, and it did nothing. Well, that's because you were praying all Catholic, Robert. I mean, Jeffress there is a Baptist, and he knows the right kind of praying to do so as to get the attention of the Almighty. See how it works? Yeah. Exactly. So we... note coming from Scott and Punky, medical cannabis. I'm holding out hope that one day soon the availability of an alternative and effective treatment for an illness hurting a kid or an adult isn't determined by their zip code. Or, as the saying goes, by accident of birth. Exactly. And so here we are with the plate still a-passing, 17 minutes past the hour. We'll take a little break. Bumper courtesy of Michael in Madison. Good call, Michael. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
Every finger in the room is pointing at me. I want to spit in the faces, then I get afraid of what that could bring. I got a bowling ball in my stomach. I got a desert in my mouth. Figures that my courage would choose to sell out now. I've been looking for a savior in these dirty streets. Looking for a savior beneath these dirty sheets. I've been raising up my hands, driving another nail in. Just what God needs, one more victim. Why do we crucify ourselves every day? I crucify myself. Nothing I do is good enough for you. I crucify myself every day. I crucify myself. My heart is sick of being. I see my heart is sick of being. Suffering so that I can have my cross. I know a cat named Easter. He says, will you ever learn? You're just an empty cage, girl, if you kill the bird. Why do we crucify ourselves every day? I crucify myself. Nothing I do is good enough for you. Crucify myself every day. Crucify myself. My heart is sick of being. So my heart is sick of being. I've been raising up my hands, driving another nail in. Where those angels, when you need. why do we crucify ourselves every day? I crucify myself, and nothing I do is good enough for you. I crucify myself every day. I crucify myself. My heart is sick of being. I see my heart is sick of being in chains. Oh, oh, chains. Why do we in chains?
Crucify ourselves.
That's just awesome. Tori Amos, Crucify, by suggestion from Michael in Madison, who recently saw Tori Amos in concert. That must have been a hell of a show, Michael. I always like to think, I love the story of, as a little girl, Tori Amos would go next door to her neighbors to borrow the piano, to work on her piano playing skills. And she's a hell of a pianist, that neighbor was Al Stewart, which is just cool. Stay away from the concert, Billable Rick. I haven't gotten to see him yet. Damn it! Don't go to that Al Stewart concert. Don't go. By the way, Steve in New York says, "Yeah, me too, Bob. I said plenty of prayers before every test." Hey, look, 22 minutes past the hour. Let's run over and check in with our buddy, the one and only Angry Indian. What do you say, Angry? Oh, Angry. Angry. Yeah, you're on. Go. Nope, not hearing you. Oh, yeah. Someday I'll have an engineer. I'm having some trouble getting angry through the Skype line. Of course, that has a... It has a sort of alternate.
Hello?
Yeah, there he is. Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Wrong button? Happens to me all the time.
I have no fucking idea. This is the new Skype the engineer in the studio put in for our system.
Well, it sounds, because... it was a little late in getting here, but it sounds good.
All right, well, I can't really tell. I'll suppose I'll...
I don't have any echoes or breakups or anything, so it's bonus.
Right. But that's cool. Like I said, I'm going to listen to the podcast anyway, and my producer will listen to this and tell me what's wrong. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole myriad of directions we can go today. Martin Luther, really? The one who said stab and stomp on all of the peasants that are daring to rise against this king when the poor decided in Germany that they have had enough because the Reformation came around and said, okay, we're not sending money to Rome anymore. We keep keeping it at home. And it's like, you know, okay, fine. Then what? Well, you guys got to continue to pay your taxes and work for free what God wants. And when it started to fight back, he shut this down. Even what was this prince? Oh man, I can't remember the name of the prince, but he admitted, he's like, you know, we've been taking advantage of these prince. It's only fair that they want some justice. Everything else has changed. Well, Martin Luther almost, you know, he threatened to excommunicate him because he's like, no. The natural order is you have the clash, you have the kingly clash. And if they try to change the system, the fuck is going to happen? The church is going to fall. Everything is just going to clash. What are we going to do? And that's just Martin Luther, you know. And then you got the chief of staff, John Kelly. You know, the Civil War was just a misunderstanding between white folks, you know.
A bunch of white folks can't get along.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're still coming down on Frederica Wilson, who I had never heard of until this controversy started. But, I mean, she's doing what she's supposed to do. And apparently, I looked up. That's her background. She really does represent the people from her goddamn district. She really is doing her job. And she said that this young man was from her district. And he was out there in Africa. This is a black man in Africa fighting Africans. Right? She led the campaign, or at least is part of that, to return those girls that were taken by Boko Haram. The way she's spelling this out to her community is, and to the rest of the black community, is this black man went to Africa to try to make things better. And this is how the president talks about him. And this is how they try to cover it up by talking about me, because they left him there. You know, now that the information, you know, is starting to trickle out, it seems that they left brother man out there, that the Blackwater or whoever the fuck private firm that these cats are working for recovered the bodies of the three Caucasians, but left brother man and all the other black Nigerian soldiers out there.
Well, you know, they all look alike, Angry. It's Africa, right?
Hey, they did this at home. The Red Cross used to do this. You know, the Red Cross did this during the World Wars. They would, you know, treat the white soldiers first before they dealt with the black ones. I mean, this is common goddamn knowledge. So, you know, not really surprised, but instead of having a discussion about why they were there, why there are 1,000 goddamn American soldiers there that nobody seems to know about but the Africans, because if you read the African fucking media, it's there, at least with the bloggers. They've been talking about this, that AFRICOM has expanded and expanded and expanded of Mr. Barack Obama. They did not elect him because they thought that he was the right man. They elected him because they needed a black face to recolonize Africa. This is the recolonization of Africa. AFRICOM is all over the goddamn place. And all that bullshit did not exist.
Oh, I mean, it's
until,
okay.
You know, what the fuck? George W. Bush thought they had out of control.
Let me just ask a couple of questions. Given, and you know me, I'm anti-war, pro-peace. But given the vast amount of uranium in Niger, how do you keep that? Because I don't know the answer. How do you keep that out of the hands of people who would like to use it immediately and B, wickedly?
Well, first off, you know, we got to ask ourselves, how many people even knew that Niger existed? You know, what is the relationship between the United States government and the United States people with the people of Niger to even give them any kind of pause to say, no, we're not going to sell uranium or yellow cake or anything else to the North Koreans, to the Russians, to the Chinese, and the Chinese are all over the goddamn place down there. So the Russians, frankly. A lot of people are not paying attention to that because it's really, really fucking low key. You know, but there's individuals that are working through Chinese nationals that are getting their, you know, individual thing going.
Well, you know, China has this thing.
That's a damn good point.
China has this thing called the One Road Plan. And it's an infrastructure plan. And Dr. Bill pointed out a couple of days ago that that plan last year they spent, or I don't know, maybe in total they've spent something like 12, 14 times as much as we spent on the Marshall Plan after the Second World War to supposedly link the world together. As someone who loves his classical antiquity, it's kind of mind-boggling to realize that the Chinese have bought the Piraeus, the ancient historical port of Athens. The People's Republic of China owns that now. And they own a lot of other shit, too. And they're not particularly interested in colonizing, per se, Africa as a continent. But they are damn sure interested in the vast reserves of unexploited mineral wealth.
Exactly. So these Russian individuals, they're not from what that I'm hearing from people, you know, who do business over there. They're like, well, you know, just like Russian individuals, you know, they don't seem to have any backing from the state because there's so much chaos going everywhere else. Africa is just a much better, you know, investment wise. There's just much more going on, and you can go in for much less.
And it's a lot harder to watch.
You know, and the gambit there is so, I hate to say this, about my, it is what the fuck it is. You know, we have been in ways that, you know, in many fucking ways, we still think, you know, I don't want to say backwards, but it's a really fucked up way of thinking that a cat will sell out his whole goddamn village, his whole fucking town. You know, for 25 U.S., he'll sell out his whole village. I mean, there's so many goddamn people who go down there and come back with film. It's on YouTube. It's all this up where they're like, why would you willingly do this? Well, because I get the money. If I don't get the money, somebody else is going to get it. Where have we heard that before? You hear blue-collar people say that shit all the time. You hear rich people say that. And I can talk shit because I've been in both. You know, it's like fucking you hear that. If I don't get it, it's a capitalist attitude. If I don't get it, then somebody else will. So my interview was like, but you know, this is causing hardship for your entire village. This was Exxon, the damage that they're doing in Africa, right? That these two young men who get paid by them to sabotage the lines. I can't remember the name of the documentary, but you can find it on Netflix. I believe it was Netflix that I saw it at somebody's home. They admitted it. One felt bad about it. The other one said, the hell with it. Somebody else would get the money. He says, this, I can help my family and I can get the things that I want. The other one said, but I would rather not do it. The other one said, well, that's how he feels. You know, he's speaking for himself. He goes, I want to get out of here. And that's my ticket to getting out of here. You know, I do this, they'll be stuck here, I'll be gone. You know, there's a lot. You know, your question is a good one because, you know, no one knows anything about Niger, really. Unless you're paying attention to Africa, if you know anything about Africa at all, you even know that Niger exists. And when it comes to the mineral wealth that you're talking about, hell yeah. I mean, you know, there was a RAND corporation. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Absolutely. You know, but they put out reports in their public. Anybody can read them, and I look at them. And they said, hey, you know, the real fucking issue besides food and water is going to be minerals in order to keep the iPhones and everything else going. So that's the main reason that they said, if I remember it correctly, that Afghanistan, the U.S. will never leave because it's not the oil so much as it is these, you know, these other minerals.
Rare earth elements.
So, you know.
Well, as Ron and Raleigh just pointed out by email, Ron says, what the hell are the Chinese supposed to do with all of our money? They're up to their gunnels with the Yankee dollar. They don't have to fight us. They can buy us.
That's right. And it's just a matter of time because anybody who knows anything, and I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but if you understand anything when it comes to the Chinese, if they can get you by fucking tickling you with a feather as opposed to cutting your head off, they're going to tickle you with the fucking feather. Because that's the most logical goddamn way to go. They know Americans are fucking stupid, greedy, eat every goddamn thing. You know, enough is never fucking enough. Everybody wants to be number one. Everybody wants to be the big man on campus and shit all the fucking time. So feed these what they eat. feed them what they eat to the point where their fucking stomachs are bursting. In the meantime, they have come to the United States before the Russians did and were buying shit up in the South with cash. I know you know about this because there were white people in Florida who were complaining about it, said that the neighbors were selling to Chinese and Taiwanese nationals throughout Florida and Louisiana for a period of time in the mid-90s. It would be cash, you know, when you sell your house.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, absolutely. And look and look at the Chinese billionaire who just got undeported by Trump.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he has something in his pockets.
No, because he's a goddamn member at Mar-a-Lago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
We've got it. We've got
chips.
Yeah, we've got it. We've got to deport all these illegals. We got to deport. Wait, he's a member at Mar-a-Lago, buddy.
Mm-hmm. And all those Russians in Florida who are staying and having kids on American soil at Trump facilities. The New York Times has reported on this. The New York Post, I believe, over there. York has gotten on this as well. I mean the New Yorker, it's a big thing. They're just like, well, wait a minute, how can Trump be anti-immigrant but it's okay for these Russians to come in and stay for 3 months, have their the child gets American and Russian citizenship? I thought it was a limited list, Brother Bob, on what whole citizenships American citizens could carry. I mean, I've known people who were, you know, they had, you know, British, American passports, you know, American, Irish passports, what have you, Israel, of course. But how many goddamn countries then is it that an American citizen can have both feet in at the same time? And it's never a security issue. And I'm being serious about my question.
Well, I'm serious in my answer too, but those Russians ain't brown, angry.
Yeah.
We only call them anchor babies when they're brown.
Mm-hmm. That's the long and short of it. Yeah.
I mean,
because see, if this
I don't know if you read it over at the New York Times, but it was one of the most heartbreaking things I've read in a long time. The story of the discarded babies of Chum in Ireland. The ones that were buried in the septic tank, anywhere from days old to years old. Just wrap them up in a blankie and throw them down the septic tank. Well, another part of that is that the baby, and this was all run on, you know, under the aegis of the Irish government, who was hand in glove, you know, just like Robert Jeffress there in Dallas once, hand in glove with the church. And so the Bon Secours sisters ran the mother and baby home, and when a baby died, they just kind of wrap it up and throw it in the septic tank. But another portion of them, and these mothers, the mothers of these children, since the babies were, you know, bastards, had no say-so in what happened to the children, and they were shipped to the United States for adoption by good Irish Catholic American families, who I'm sure were told that they were doing a good thing. And you know, basically trafficking in human children. But
that was done here for how many days?
Then there's the horror in this hemisphere of what was done to indigenous children. But the larger point is that there are babies and there are babies. And little white babies, well, all babies matter. Little white babies matter a little bit more.
Well, how much does a white child cost now? When I knew this one couple, they were having a hard time. Didn't know that they were specifically looking for a white child, but that's what they were looking for. And I didn't know that the wife was specific about blonde hair and blue eyes. First off, that's very, very difficult. That's the number one requested demographic for adoptive children up for adoption. And the price range, you know, do you know about this? Because not that many people are aware of this. It costs, I believe it's 11 to 18 times what a black child, like, you know, the fees, all of your costs, you know, whatever changes you need to make. It's amazing. You know, black children are literally dirt cheap. But if you want an Aryan, well, you know, you're going to be in hock for, you know, the entire, you know, lifespan probably of this adoption. You know, what does that say? You know, like when conservatives, especially libertarians that I know, talking to me about the three-fifths clause, you know, it was just for taxation. It had nothing to do with your humanity. You know, what do these things mean? We never really have a serious discussion about anything here until there's violence. And even then, you know, we do everything possible, you know, and I'm saying we in that sense, to blame the victim for what happened to them. And then excuse, you know, whatever the fuck is wrong with, you know, whatever perfection we see in our system, you know, to explain the lapse. And then try to figure out a way to continue, you know, carry on business as usual without anyone really being blamed or held accountable for what happened other than the victim. Which then becomes, pushed down to some form of aberration that would have been avoided if we had done the right thing in the first place. Which kind of sounds like the bullshit that you were playing when I first was, you know, dipping in and out when you first started the show. What the fuck is wrong with these supposed Christians, Brother Bob? I mean, I know they wouldn't give a fuck about what I think. I'm an atheist, and you know, I was raised Catholic and shit, so that makes me all wrong to begin with. But it's like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with people? That can, you know, well, not can, but will use religion, knowing that they're using religion, and claiming that they have...
Well, it's the entire history.
And the fact that they know that...
I mean, it's another one of those cases where we think it's new because it's happening in the era in which we are alive. This is the story of Christianity from the minute they pulled Jesus off the cross. Okay, somebody has been trying to access power ever since, and so it matters not if it's the Roman Catholics or the Greek Orthodox or the Syrian Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox or the Baptists or the Methodists or the Lutherans or what have you. It's all a power game. And what they want is power, and they want the power to compel people to think like they think. You know how they're constantly complaining, well, you know, your Islam's not a true religion. What it is a government system and a political system wrapped up in the guise of a religion. Well, they're only describing Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what Christianity is. And they would, and yes, they would burn the lot of us, or maybe send us to a re-education camp until we, and you know, we could flog ourselves with barbed wire flails or something until we finally got the message.
See, I think that's what Pence talking about. That I see Pence as that type of Christian because I remember
he absolutely
and I
is.
Warned people. You know, about that Indiana HIV crisis that he had, that he just felt that he could pray away, you know, and that he prayed on. And that praying on it meant that he wasn't going to do a goddamn thing about it.
Well, see, if you're a Christian like Pence and you've prayed, you've done your job. Well, you know, I took it to the Lord in prayer. If he doesn't do it, well, must be something wrong. If he doesn't need to do anything about it, there must be something wrong with you. You must be too...
Something wrong with you.
Yeah. And it provides a convenient out. Oh, doggone it. People are starving here. Let's pray for them. What? They're not eating? Oh, that's their fault, sinners. I mean, remember Pastor...
Yeah, that nonsense that he
remember that big rumbling, tumbling, bumbling Pastor Hagee yelling into the microphone, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Starve! Remember that?
Yeah.
Welcome to Christianity.
Yeah,
and last week, and I shared the email on air, and I tried to do it as gently as I could. You know, questions periodically arise. You know, Bob, you're awful hard on the Christians. Bob, gosh, there are good Christians out there. I'm not a Christian like that, Bob. And the fact of that, I take it all at face value. I take it all for gospel truth. Ha, see what I did there? And still, you know, but then, okay, well, what are you doing about the bad Christians? Have you formulated a doctrinal statement saying that they're not really Christians, that they're not going to get to go and have Frisbees and wheat checks after they die with Jesus? Because Christianity can't get its house in order. Christianity won't get its house in order. The Protestant Reformation only changed who was exercising power. Okay, most of the Protestant Reformation clung to many of the theological tenets that Roman Catholicism promulgated, because they felt like, Luther felt like, Calvin felt like, they were actually restoring what the church got wrong. But Henry VIII died considering himself a right, proper, good Roman Catholic.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. It's just because this is all so much bullshit. these are structures. These are institutions that set themselves up, like any other institution, to grow, to expand, to consolidate power, to consolidate their legitimacy. And, some are much more, keen on doing it by nefarious ways than others. I mean, didn't we have a case here recently that Ken Ham and the Koch brothers were connected to, where they were trying to smuggle Iraqi, pre-Islamic and pre-Christian?
You're talking about the Hobby Lobby family, the Greens.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. That the Holly Lobby motherfuckers who...
the people who think that their Jesus objects to them paying for an IUD, but Jesus is okay with them trafficking in stolen goods.
Right. Well, there's the stolen goods thing, but here's the real fucking rub. Because my wife... it bothered you so much. I'm like, think about it. Because my wife is a Christian Palestinian. And I said, think... I said, you come from the oldest Christian fucking planet. And it's like, here it is that these artifacts and gave you the providence of this and the relation to it, in history, in that region, you would recognize that it has nothing to do with you and it has nothing to do with your religious background. But what these fuckers did is that they're modern evangelical American Christians, and they took pre-Christian Islamic, in some cases pre-Judaic goddamn artifacts that things that that relate to Baal and the original
shit that was written in cuneiform. Okay, let's just be clear on this. Cuneiform tablets from ancient Iraq, the first form of writing that ever existed on the entire planet. And yes, they bartered and bid and haggled over it like a
Yes, you do. It was reported. They were dealing with representatives of Daesh, otherwise known
as ISIS,
otherwise known as state.
Yeah, and they haggled over it like the heathens haggled over the raiment of the crucified Christ. sometimes all that Bible education comes in handy.
They were willing to falsify history, to falsify the providence of these items, where we've already lost a hell of a lot of human history when they bombed the fuck out of Iraq. We can't replace any of these things. We can't replace any of this. Anybody who gives a fuck about history is furious about this. Just like when the goddamn nutcases in Afghanistan
blew up the Bamiyan Buddhas, yeah.
It's like going up and destroying Angkor Wat or something. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They're already trying to destroy many of the other pyramid structures that they're putting in some of these other older cities in South America. The business class is like, hey, it's old. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's going to live here. And they're actually beating up scientists and whatever who are trying to protect these spaces.
Yeah, and the only reason we're not doing it here is because we already did it 160 years ago. I worked on an archaeological site a million years ago when I rode to the site on my dinosaur, and everywhere you dug, there were plow scars. And so, and this was in West Tennessee. And what would happen is the farmers would come in and they'd see these humps on the ground. Like, well, that's going to get in the way of my plowing. And so they'd plow under a, you know, a 2,000-year-old burial mound.
Well, that was ignorant. They didn't know. But now it's like, why do this? But see, this plays into what you were bringing up earlier, how politics, how history is being twisted. So you get this cat who, what is his name? The last one you were playing.
Oh, Jeffress?
Jeffress.
Yeah, Robert
so,
Jeffress.
You know, I'm
going to
be straight. You know, you talk about it all the time. We're talking about a religion that is founded on the trials and tribulations of a Palestinian day labor who today would not be allowed into the U.S. if Trump had anything to say about it. He was a Jew, and you know, let's be honest about that, too. You know, they turn around and try to write out of history the fact that he was Jewish and had brothers and sisters and what have you. You know, for his crucifixion. You know, I mean, Europeans, you know, he's making an argument as a white Euro settler, Middle Eastern religion somehow is his, and that he understands it better than any goddamn buddy else, and he's going to, you know, make a, you know, fucking determination the night before while he was sitting in the fucking head that, you know, Harvey Weinstein did this because America has no religion. But let's forget about the fact that you had a devout Christian like Denny Hastert or another devout Christian, Jerry Sandusky, or another fucking enabling, believing Christian, Joe Paterno. We could go on all night, but let's just put those examples in. These were Christian motherfuckers, but somehow they don't represent, you know, Christianity, right?
Now, let's be fair. I mean, let's be fair. Joe Paterno was a Catholic. Robert Jeffress does not consider him to be a Christian.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because according to
Jeffress, he's a Mary worshiper. He's a Mary worshiper.
Yeah, right? You know, I listened when I was a child to the Pope. So, you know, what the fuck do I know? Well, I know this much. I know that you actually got a Pope in for the first time that's actually, you know, I know people want him to overturn everything and to tell gay people it's okay and all this kind of shit. He can't do that because it's a fucking institution. He is the head of an institution, and his job is to uphold and maintain the fucking structure of the institution. But he is a Catholic fucking worker from South America, which is what I was. So the idea is, that, you know, man comes before the church, and he's, to some goddamn degree, and he's saying what no other goddamn pope has admitted to, that one in five fucking priests is a goddamn predator, slash sexual abuser, whatever the fuck. We have.
Well, yeah, but let's be fair here. Let's not beat the Catholic priest drum if we're not gonna beat the Baptist minister drum. Okay.
I was going there because, well, not just them, because let's just be cool. I mean, let's just be true about it. You have the Protestant whatever the fucks, right? We can list them all day. Okay? I know a lot of people who have no contact with the Orthodox Jewish community do not know on how many rabbis.
Oh,
in
yeah.
This country. I mean, there's been two yeshivas that damn near went, you know, bankrupt because they were trying to pay people to keep them quiet. Because, you know, the closed mouth system within the community wasn't working with this shit because people work and go to school and what have you. And it is like, look, you know, this is going on at home. So, the, you know, fucking the authorities were forced to intervene. And they tried every religious, you know, whatever the fuck happened. They said, no, so they had to start paying this shit off. So then you got Hinduism. You know, that is another problem. Not just in India. I'm talking about within the United States. That is an actual issue of abuse, sexual abuse from these gurus who take advantage of their followers. You know, people who are knowledgeable about this know that Gandhi was, you know, seen as an abuser. And this is a very touchy issue in India. It's touchy for Indian
Americans.
Well,
you know, look at Sri Lanka, okay? Now, on the one hand, you've got the Hindus. And they just, you know, we're talking about people that will not eat meat, okay? They're vegetarians. They won't kill animals to eat them, right? But they were willing to slaughter the shit out of the Buddhists, and the Buddhists were willing to slaughter the shit out of them in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, that to the Western mind, that just, you know, the Western mind that has only passing familiarity with either faith system, it's like, what the, really? Really, well, the Hindus and the Buddhists are going at it? You know, when the Hindus and Buddhists are going at it, we're kind of fucked.
Yeah, but it was socio-political power, not religion. The religion just became, you know, the rallying.
Well, religion was the means of oppression of the religious minority. In this case, the Buddhists were the majority and the Hindus were the minority in Sri Lanka. But then there's, look at Vietnam, where a teeny tiny itsy bitsy little bit of nothing Roman Catholic minority oppressed the living shit out of the Buddhist majority. And well, you know, we backed that.
Yeah. I've known Catholic Vietnamese who, you know, they live here in the States because their families could not stay. They got out before the Tet Offensive. But I talked to him about it. I say, what would have happened if your family had stayed? He says, we would have been murdered. They would have murdered all of us. He says, you know, we were part of the ruling thing before that. So what happens in a situation like that? There was no way that we would have reconciled. We had to leave. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a horrible situation. But, you know, again, people have to be willing and have to be educated, you know, well, first educated and then willing to understand where there's political factors in a thing, where there's religious factors, where there's racial, whatever the fuck, territorial factors, because, you know, we're saying, okay, these people hate each other. That's not solving the issue. You know, I mean, this fucking Jeffers, you know, every time I hear him, it gives me a headache, whether it's him or what's his name, who's trying to rehabilitate himself after his goddamn disgrace.
Oh, Baker.
Tammy Faye's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baker.
Yeah, but with Jeffress, there's something particular at work, and you've got to bear this in mind in the real world. Jeffress is important to Trump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, among other things, I saw a story earlier today. It's from Vanity Fair. You can't go any lower. Inside the West Wing, Trump is apoplectic as allies fear impeachment. And he is. It's beginning to prey on what little bit of a mind he has left. The spirochetes haven't left much. But when if what Mueller is doing comes to fruition, and if what Mueller is doing eventually finds its way up to Trump, and you know what? To be fair, it doesn't have to find its way all the way to Trump. All it has to do is touch Don Jr. Okay, because that will drive him batshit. He won't be so broken up about Jared getting dinged, and Jared can get dinged real easy too, because he feels like Jared's been giving him bad advice. But when the walls really, really begin to squeeze him like a zit, because they're closing in, he's going to need Robert Jeffress to mobilize the faithful. And I don't mean to go out into the streets and carry little signs and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. I don't mean that. We're talking about the First Baptist Church of Dallas, probably the largest single congregation in the entire state, except for maybe the church in the basketball gymnasium down in Houston. They got guns. And they're itching to use them. And they get sermons delivered in code every week. Just like Weinstein was code for the Jews. All right? The Jews took prayer out of schools. That's why he linked those two. Because Trump is not going to go peacefully. I don't mean to be apocalyptic. But
he suggested that himself in the campaign trail, remember?
Get him out of here. I'll pay your legal bills if you beat the shit out of him. Yeah, right. And the NRA has got its membership at a rolling boil. People like Robert Jeffress are getting the Baptists, and there's a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram. He's got them at the their courage screwed to the sticking place. We are in a dangerous time, angry. And I don't say that lightly. I don't think until this presidency came around, I don't think I've ever said it. I wasn't suggesting that, you know, we needed to get at, you know, I wasn't suggesting that, no. Now, granted, the thing about the right wing is you can always tell what they're thinking about by what they complain about the other side doing. You remember for 8 years how they screamed about how Obama was making FEMA re-education camps, and remember Operation Jade Helmet and Common Core and all these things that was going to take away our freedom? Guess what? They've got plans for all of it. And he has weaponized organizations, Trump has. He's weaponized the Republican Party, not just Trump. They've weaponized the NRA. That may be a bit of an overstate or a redundancy. But he's weaponized these evangelical Christians that back him, for whom it doesn't matter what he does, they continue to support him. And consequently, when it starts getting really hot, they're going to start getting really nasty.
Well, they already get nasty. They're still killing people left and goddamn right. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. But see, like you were saying earlier, let's be fair. Part of this discussion has to be, how was Trump enabled in the first place? And you got to blame Obama for a lot of this, because he did not deal with police brutality. He did not deal with racism. He allowed the Republicans, and I already know, you know, and you understand this. I'm not going to let you about it, or anybody else that listens to this program, that, yeah, you know, when we do stand up for ourselves or try to assert ourselves a little goddamn bit, I mean, really, and, you know, anybody black, like, you know, Todd would know what the fuck I'm talking about. Just standing up straight can get, you know, black people, I mean, no, can get white people to fucking start treating you really fucked up, because now they think that something's going to happen. Like, what's going on? So I dig all of that. But the fact that he never challenged them, he never really challenged them. I mean, labor. He made a promise to labor. I'll get my pair of comfortable shoes and go out there with you. He never fucking did any of this shit. And black folks laid back and just thought, okay, he's going to do it. And especially the intellectual strata and the entertainers, you know, they were very, and they're still very supportive. You can't, you know, fault Obama for nothing. You know, the fact that AFRICOM has expanded under him doesn't mean anything. You know, the fact that we're fighting in Niger, you know, it was under his watch doesn't mean any goddamn thing. You know, the fact that now the FBI is looking at black identity politics and shit as this thing, you know, all of this happened because he enabled it in the first place. He stood there and let people insult him, hang up nooses, insult the rest of us, kill us, and never said, hey, you know, if anybody ever asked him anything about race, he said, look at my 2008 race speech where I blame black extremists, basically, for making white people angry. And well, you know, can't put it all on Trump. How did we get to this fucking space? You know, Trump, Trump weaponized them. But the thing is, what stopped them? You know, Obama passed 5 different ordinances. They can take guns into churches and school grounds and fucking, you know, stadiums and shit. How was he, you know,
those were all actions of various state legislatures. The one thing that Obama did was allow guns to be carried into national parks. Well, I tell you what, that sure is some assault on the Second Amendment. No, I get your point in that, but I also recognize that he was not, you know, because there were 8 years of, well, they're Negro Messiah, blah, blah, blah. No, he wasn't. I remember the cab driver in D.C. who said, well, of course he hasn't fixed anything yet. He's not a wizard. He's only the president. But, of course, the evangelicals and the Republicans and et cetera and the white fundamentalists and whatever, they did. They thought he was a Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard. And they spent 8 years calling him that. 8 years in which, for the majority of it, he did not have a Congress with whom to work. And the Pentagon does what the Pentagon does. And it's very hard to slow them down. I'm not making excuses. I'm merely pointing out realities. I mean, and I'll ask you hypothetically, if Bernie Sanders was president right now, angry, and AFRICOM continued to expand, what would we be saying about Bernie Sanders?
Oh, they'd be downing and fucking calling him all kinds of fucking commie shit. And I'm talking about the left. You know?
Yeah.
They would turn on. You know, but again, this is, you know, kind of what I'm talking about. You know, Obama belongs to a particular class in the black community, and I'm not knocking him. I'm an Uncle Tom, too. That's why I understand him. The difference is I was raised in the black community. He wasn't. So, you know, we are on the same bullshit where we've had champagne and fuck caviar or whatever, but in the, you know, we're novelties in these goddamn crowds. And he understood that, you know. That's why I could have Abiyomi and be, you know, invited to these things, and he had Barack, because it makes you a fucking novelty. But the bottom line was he got the way he got to because he fucking served at that particular fucking time a real fucking need in a variety of areas. They needed to open up Africa for exploitation. They needed to be able to have the military set in, and they needed to do it with a black face because the white guy couldn't do that anymore. You got black people who are still fucking asking for shit. We're not going to give it to them. So give them somebody who the little bit that he does give them is to make them basically as unblack as goddamn possible so they can fill these spaces. And I see it.
Along the way, it did not hurt that he stomped the living shit out of both McCain and Romney.
Well, that needed to be done.
At the ballot box.
But just like with the last election with Hillary, I would love to see a woman in. And I'm not kidding about that. But not any goddamn woman. There's a hell of a lot of people I could think that would be better off, who are females, better off than Hillary Clinton or Jill Stein, for that matter. And why we're on the question of this, Brother Bob, why is it that Jill Stein is not being raised in this goddamn Trump-Russia thing? Why is the left still allowing her to get away with this bullshit? Why is the Green Party fucking really acting fucking
because she has to be
weird?
She has to be able to pop up in 20 like a bad Kopech and potentially fuck things up again. That's why. Because there is a vested interest among some to make sure that there are, look, you don't have to dig very far into this to get the answer. Most people think that when we talk about the Facebook ads, for instance, that we're talking about ads like the fake news story about Pope Francis endorsing Donald Trump. And of course, we over here on the left, we all smugly say, well, those goddamn stupid right-wingers, they don't know when they're being rolled with propaganda, do they? They're such a bunch of simpletons. Hillary Clinton was involved in a child sex trafficking ring run out of the basement of a pizza joint that didn't even have a pizza in it. Goddamn Hillary Clinton, the devil that she is. Guess what? The left got rolled with a bunch of Russian advertising, too, because the purpose was to destroy the polity. The POLITY, destroy the civic base, Republican, Democrat, what have you. And guess who was very, very handy in all of that, Angry?
I can name a bunch of people. You tell me who you're thinking about.
Well, I'm the Silly Jilly. I mean, honest to God, really, the standard bearer for American progressivism is so incompetent she can't get on an airplane at Logan International Airport in Boston and fly to Columbus, Ohio. She's so stupid she winds up in fucking Cincinnati. I mean, that happened. A woman who says that the Wi-Fis are eating our brains. She did say that, by God. But you can't, you don't have to move in a political system like ours that is as divided as ours is. You don't have to move millions. You can fuck an election on thousands, hundreds.
Yeah, but Brother Bob, I know I said a little bit about it the last time I was on your show. But I'll say it again. I have full respect for Black Agenda Report. You know, they've been around a long time, and I've used them as a source. I find their analysis to be, for the most part, okay. But they've been 100% pro-Russia since this shit began. And the last broadcast of theirs I listened to, they were still pro-Russia. They start off.
Well, where do they have to go, Angry?
It's like
folk. They're too good to and again, I offer the same caveat. I've read a lot of Glenn Ford's writing. I've respected a lot of it. But they're too pure to ever sully themselves in the nasty business of retail politics. Just like Celery and Treebeard are over in white progressive land. They'd rather see the country burn, and then, you know, they're going to be the ones who are there to lead us into the promised land after the apocalypse.
Yeah, but see, Lenin is not going to be repeated. Not anytime soon. Things have changed. You know, so they're not going to be able to jump off a train and be able to sway the masses. It's not going to fucking happen. You know, and look, I know a lot of people like that. I told you privately my fucking political pedigree. You know, none of this shit is new to me. But if you're going to call yourself the Black Agenda Report, and you're going to fucking support the active measures, because that's what it's called when the Russians do it. And yeah, they make a point of saying, well, the United States has done this all over the world, so they shouldn't complain. Well, what the fuck? So, okay, so there's murders over here. So if there's murders over here, it doesn't matter, right? Because there's murders over here, you know, over there. Dude, what the fuck kind of logic is that? The fact that pisses me off is that Black people in this country have all shit done to us, especially in the goddamn area of voting. We got a whole goddamn stand where the five in their top court that it was clear that they were trying to prevent Black people from voting with this goddamn voter ID bullshit. So it was like, wait a motherfucking minute. How can you be a Black radical in 19... No, stop. See how dated this shit is in my head? In 2017, talking about, oh, I'm going to support the Russians on this because they didn't do anything, even though Putin sat on fucking television and said, yeah, well, Russian hackers did it, but we didn't tell them to. And then we got all this other bullshit that's flying through here showing that they were goddamn directly involved and connected to not just Manafort, but the Trump fucking family members with this. It's unfucking deniable. No, we're still going to fucking hang on that we started out with this bullshit and we're not going to goddamn back down. So we're going to continue to fucking push this despite what the fuck happened and despite the fact that they helped fuck Black people over. And I'm not just talking about the vote. When the FBI passed this bullshit here talking about Black identity goddamn politics, which would naturally have to include the NAACP and a bunch of other fucking groups that really don't do anything but push paper, the Russians helped increase this anti-African climate because they were buying ads and pushing media that said, yeah, Black Lives Matter is anti-police. They hate white people. They got a plan to wipe out white people. They're connected to international terrorism and what have you. We know that these things were bullshit, but how many people read those ads that Facebook admitted to so far?
None. I mean,
well, yeah. Yeah, they have. They admitted that those ads got to, I can't.
I misunderstood you. Yeah, 126 million.
126 million fucking people. And I hate to sound like this, but I'm going to be George Orwell here for fucking 5 minutes, all right? Let's fucking be honest. Anybody who's ever taken a basic fucking psychology class knows that 70% of the fucking population in any goddamn given crowd waits to see what the group is going to fucking do before they make a fucking decision. And then you have the others who fucking will wait till the last minute because they still can't make up their fucking minds. But once about 5 or 7% of that group starts to move in a direction, 70% are going to go with them because they're mindless, unthinking motherfuckers who go along the crowd. Machiavelli understood this. The Catholic goddamn church understood this. Hitler fucking understood this. Mussolini understood this shit to a fucking T. Charles Manson goddamn understands this. They fucking knew that it's not a matter of, you know, truth. It's a matter of, can we flood the media with this negative bullshit?
Again, that's what I said a few minutes ago. It's not about convincing someone of the rightness of any particular piece of propaganda. It's about making sure that the American people are at each other's throats. The happiest day in the world for Vladimir Putin would be if this country would devolve into civil war.
Okay, let's get into history for a second. How did Ireland get the way the fuck it is? Because of the Irish? Or because
That would be the English occupiers and the Scots.
Right? You know, Catholic Protestant? I've known people from fucking Belfast. I've known people from the six counties, and I've also known people from the other goddamn side. And it's not fucking comfortable to be in a room with fucking, you know, these opposing fucking sides. I've been in the same situation with Greeks and fucking Turks. And I'm talking about, you know, situations that are hundreds of fucking years old, and these people have had, they're all born in America, but they still fucking hate each other. Wouldn't shake hands. Wouldn't have a fucking drink.
Oh, God, thank God they wouldn't have a drink, because they would have devolved into brawling, you know, half a shot in. That's just gasoline on an already lit fire. But I understand your point.
I watched a Korean. I think he had his third shot. And, you know, there were some Japanese people that were in the group. He started telling off everybody. And he started talking about, you know, how they cut off their noses and what they did to their women and all of this. Now, he was born and raised in Portland, goddamn Oregon. He knows nothing else. But he's strong from Japan. I mean, upset about it later, embarrassed and shit. But I'm like, yeah, that really bothers you, because that's what you've been raised with. It's in your psyche. You know, this is, you know, what you know. He didn't know that. He was still that, you know, that upset about it. And he's like, well, you're Indian. You know better. I'm like, no, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying these things are so deeply fucking set that we need to recognize. But, you know, we apply this shit to things that we shouldn't apply them to. So here it is. We got all this motherfucking racial tension right now where we have, and let's be straight, white people on the whole are, you know, okay in defending police officers that are murdering people. Why am I saying, you know, this? Terrence Crutcher, who was killed by Betty Shelby, who had a record before she became a police officer.
And now the killing of Terrence Crutcher, the murder charge, the manslaughter charge, whatever, has been completely erased from her record. She has been washed in the blood of Jesus. She is sinless before God, or at least before the judicial system.
So, you know, what's going on here, right? So here this happens. You know, people... And I speak to people, Brother Bob, over coffee every fucking morning. That's the basis of my fucking program. And people forget that Russians read American news, that the Chinese read the New York Times, that the French read the New York Post even. They think that what happens here, nobody's really fucking looking other than looking up to Americans. So what do you think an intelligence organization is going to do if they're smart and don't want to spend a whole lot of fucking money and risk a whole lot of manpower and risk a diplomatic fucking, you know, incident? You do it the sneaky fucking way. You get your enemies to fucking fight each other. It's called divide and goddamn conquer. So you take the racial problems that go on in that country and you put in all kinds of adverts and bullshit blog posts and what have you and YouTube videos that exacerbates the fucking problem. But if you say that to Black Agenda Report, if you say that to these hardcore fucking communists, if you say that to CPR Metro News, if you say that to any of these motherfucking, you know, supposed hardcore fucking commies, they don't want to hear it. You're a counter-revolutionary. You know, you're counter this bullshit. The Russians are friends.
Bougie asshole.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, they haven't backed Black people since the fucking communist state went down. And even then, you're still talking about Khrushchev. Not Brezhnev and what the fuck came after. You're talking about a fucking era that you weren't even fucking alive in. I'm telling you, you got it wrong. And when they did support African fucking revolutionary movements, they did it for political reasons. My best friend was Russian. I know Russians. That's wrong. You know what I'm saying? But no, you can't tell people this because they read a blog post. So they fucking know. You can't tell them. They're experts now. They saw it on Twitter. They know. It's in their Facebook TL. You can't tell them any goddamn thing. They don't need to look at anything else. You know, fuck you, man. I already got all the information I need to know. I hate Hillary Clinton. So Russia is innocent. Period. Bottom line. No discussion. That's it. But they limited the black vote here.
Well, look, you know how little patience I have for this sort of thing. The bottom line is, and you can't get any bottomer than this bottom line, 99.9% of the bullshit that we are dealing with right now, we would not be dealing with if Hillary Clinton was president.
I have to agree. I concur.
I mean, how can you do anything? And I don't mean you. But how can anyone do anything but concur? I mean, I've got no patience for dumbass Susan Sarandon and her, well, look, even the lotus has to rise from the mud. Yeah, fuck off. But we've got a problem. I mean, I hate to call anything out, but the Mike Malloy fan page over on Facebook is a sewer. It's just a sewer of anti-Hillary bullshit. You know, the Clinton Foundation, brooga, brooga, brooga. Well, the fact of the matter is, she didn't have any say-so on the uranium deal. Part two of that is that when you first read the story, because I read the story and I was like, oh, this is creepy as shit. And then you dig down a little bit and you find out what the basis of it is, where the story came from. Once again, it's from Wingnut Mills, based on sleazy, skeevy reporting from, you know, another goddamn right-wing troll. That Russian outfit did buy the Canadian mining firm that did own 20% of the uranium reserves in the United States. But you know what, Angry? And this is a real ha-ha. The laws of the United States prevent any uranium mined in the United States from being exported abroad. Period. So the Russians can, the Russian company can mine it till hell freezes over, but they can't do anything but sell it to utilities that have nuclear power plants in the United States.
Yeah, but you got to do research to find this out. And then you have to be willing to accept that, okay, I found this out, so I got to reevaluate my position on this. How many people are going to do that unless they're not forced?
Right, and I hope I perform a little bit of a service in that regard. And by the way, let me just interrupt for a second here. I'm sorry. We got 37 minutes left in the program, and $190 to raise to match Bruce's memorial challenge for the first day of the month. So Keith, who got us started, does not have any company. So hopefully, maybe we can take a bite out of that in the next 37 minutes. It sure would. Well, it sucks when we sort of blow off these challenges. What I was getting at though is that, you know, I try to perform service here and tell people things like this, and I'm not, you know, and again, you know, I'm not a member of the Hillary fan club. And that statement alone would get me pilloried if it was more broadly known. But I voted for her because I didn't want Donald Trump to be president. Because I knew this was what was coming at us. Okay? I knew what was coming. Yes, her presidency would have been a mess because the impeachment proceedings would have begun on the first congressional business day after the inauguration. No doubt about it. But we would not
McConnell
be facing...
would have been up there that...
You know, and but what I said a minute ago is absolutely true. The Hilarians, the hardcore Hilarians, God damn you, you fucking Bernie bro, what do you mean you don't worship her? She's the most intelligent human being, the most capable human being who ever ran for president in the history of the new United States of America. And they get all red-faced and shit over that. And you know, if you don't march lockstep with them, you're a goddamn Bernie bro. And then there's the Bernie Bros.
Yeah, hold on for a second. Before let me interrupt you here. I didn't get a chance to read this. Come on the line with you, but apparently there's that a large share of those ads were, because they were using what you talked about. I don't know if the Russians started it, but they sure.
You're breaking up something fierce, Andrew. You're breaking up something fierce. Say what you just said again about the ads.
All right. From what I'm understanding, I haven't read into it yet, that a large share of the Facebook ads that were bought by Russians, I mean, they were actually bought with Russian money.
Rubles.
They were pro-Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were rubles. They were pro-Bernie Sanders pushing the Bernie bro thing, attacking DNC people. So basically, the DNC got played by the Russians as well without realizing it. The whole Bernie bro thing, whether they created it or not, they took full advantage of it and bought ads and other fake posts and fake blog posts and what have you, and tweet and Twitter and whatever the fuck, to push that, to create that divide. Because I didn't know anybody that was talking like that. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's a sewer. I mean, you're on there as much or more than I am.
Yeah, but how many of those are real people? That's what I'm saying. There are so many fake accounts that it's unreal. You know, you can block, but so many. I mean, that's how many fake accounts there are out there. And if you've been on long enough, then you can kind of tell which one's which. And there are also block lists, and you have sites where you can check an account. But usually when you look at these accounts, it turns out that they were bought and operated by Russian, Russian, I'm going to say hacker for lack of a better term, but that's what they were doing. They were working anonymously and pushing the Bernie bro thing, which of course the being reactionary. So while they're battling each other and causing havoc and probably encouraging, you know, somebody, at least a few people on the street to push this, because they figured, okay, well, this is an option. You know, this, I really support them. I mean, most of those people who they were calling Bernie bros, anybody that I actually encountered like that, they were really libertarians. They were not socialists. They were not Democrats. They were not party members. They were really libertarians who go back and forth any goddamn way. They vote for whatever the fuck appeals to them. So really what appealed to them was they liked Sanders, but when they couldn't get Sanders, they voted for Trump. There's plenty of
there's the West Virginia example. And I get this from time to time, and I try to patiently explain it when I do. Oh, look at all the West Virginia. Look how badly Bernie beat Hillary. Well, I happened to watch the Trump appearance in Charleston, where they had an overflow crowd at the Charleston Civic Center, in which he said, if you were planning to go and vote for me in the primary, don't. Go and vote for Bernie instead. And so there were a shit ton of people who went and voted for Bernie in the primary in West Virginia who never had any intention whatsoever of voting for a Democrat in the general, even if it was Bernie. They were going to vote for Trump.
What did I say earlier? 70%, right? In the black community, we have a different set of mathematics. Who are the 5%? Who are the 10%? Who are the 85 goddamn percent? People who listen to rap know what the fuck I'm talking about, all right? The large majority of people will just go along with the crowd. They don't think for themselves. They're afraid to think for themselves. In many cases, they feel that they have no options. But they are psychically beholden to, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to do what the crowd does. We're social beings, and there are people who realize that. And instead of using that for the good of humanity, to get people to do the right work, they use that for personal fucking power. And like I said, you and I can talk historically about this all day. You have a leader that is totally fucked up. His son behind him is totally fucked up. The younger brother comes in, and it was like night and day because he had a different view on people. He had a different view on life and tried to extend that to his population. But it only takes greed, you know, or a greedy person, no matter what the fuck goes on. I don't care, you know, the left needs to accept right is. We're willing to argue with you all fucking night long, deep into the next morning, and we'll cook you breakfast to try to get you to understand where the fuck we're coming from, to see that it's beneficial to work together. the far right is not like that. They'll take a hammer and bash you over the fucking head because that's what works fast, and they don't give a fuck about.
And they're authoritarians, and if you try to step out of line with a bunch of authoritarians, they will get you back in line by any means necessary. Yeah. And because you're a Republican, like a conservative, you're inclined to authoritarianism anyway, so you're not that likely to cause that much trouble anyhow. Look at the teabaggers, okay? The teabaggers never made that much trouble. They put in more reactionary Republicans than the Republicans were there. That's not a problem when you get right down to it. Okay? That's just more Republicans. On the other hand, not so much. You know what I mean? Like I've said before, over on our side, it's not like herding cats. You can get a cat to go pretty much anywhere you want to go as long as you've got a can of Friskies open in front of it. We're wrangling butterflies. And anybody who's ever chased a butterfly with a net knows that the person with the net is expending a hell of a lot more energy than the fucking butterfly is.
Or you can do it like my wife and I do, and I'm sure the cat lovers do who listen to this program. You can just have a good relationship with your cat, period. You know, and it's not a matter of, oh, you do this or do that because I told you to. It's like, okay, this is what we do, you know, for everything to work, for everything to get along. You know, there's ways for shit to work out. But again, on the left, we can be reactionary too. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the Progressive Radio Network.
I've been on it.
You've been on it, right?
Yeah.
Reed Null's show, I'm not going to say anything. They got the Infectious Myth, Focus on the Facts and what have you. Like Focus on the Facts, for example, they start off just about every goddamn show about the Clinton Foundation. And this is the left.
Well, there must be a dollar in it.
Right. But I don't think anybody's getting paid over this except for Gary, no. But then again, I could be wrong about that because I've never been paid. So I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe, but the left is certainly pushing a lot of the elements that the right is using, and not at all for any of the good reasons. There would be any goddamn good reason. There's a lot of confusion out here. And you were pretty clear when you said earlier about the person we were talking about. I didn't name this individual, but I respect the guy, but it's like, why take this position when it is completely diametrical to what it is you're supposed to be about? As if, you know, Putin, who has allowed the far right to run crazy in Russia, he brought the church back into government.
Well, look, here's just one example. The CHIPS program, something that should be easy. It should be a no-brainer. Especially for people who are all religioned up and care about the precious little infants. Suffer the little children to come unto me, said Jesus. Well, apparently Jesus didn't say suffer them to have health insurance, because the goddamn Republicans let the CHIPS program expire and have not lifted a finger to reauthorize it yet. Now, how many families of people who needed that program now have children who don't have the ability to go to the doctor when they're sick? Children angry. How many black families? How many Asian families? How many white families? Okay, guess what? It would have been a struggle, but at least we would have had a president who was saying, "Hey, dumb bastards, re-up the CHIPS program. It's important." And might have actually created enough pressure to make them do something in that good for nothing, godforsaken Republican Congress. And I do mean good for nothing. I mean, I don't know if you caught it or not today, but in a statement from the EPA, Scott Pruitt, since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, Scott Pruitt has decided that the EPA is going to run on biblical principles. Kitty in Boston sent me this story earlier today, and I just sat there with my mouth hanging open, because even as awful as things are, I still maintain a little bit of an ability to be shocked, to be surprised, to be disgusted. he instituted a thing where if you've got a grant from the EPA to study something, you can't be on an advisory panel that advises the EPA about the thing that you're studying. So if you're actually doing research on a topic and you're an expert on the topic, you can't be on the advisory panel that tell. So those are a bunch of empty seats. Guess who they're going to be filled by? That's right, industry flacks directly opposed to the people who are doing the research on, you know, environmental toxins, environmental harms, people being poisoned. And he used a story. I kid you not. He used a story from the Old Testament of Joshua, a story about Joshua, to illustrate his point. It's another one of those moments when I just really, really miss drinking. He changed this rule, Pruitt did. And remember, Pruitt himself is an industry flack, okay? That's where the hypocrisy comes in. And he said, I'm looking for it here. Just give me a second. On the journey to the promised land, Joshua says to the people of Israel, "Choose this day whom you are going to serve." This is sort of like the Joshua principle, that as it relates to grants from this agency, you are going to have to choose either service on the committee to provide counsel to us in an independent fashion or choose the grant. But you can't do them both. That's the fair and great thing to do.
The fair and the great thing?
The fair and great thing to do.
I saw something about it last night. And
yeah, we want to ensure that there's integrity in the process and that the scientists that are advising us are doing so without any type of appearance or conflict of interest. Never mind the fact that having the EPA headed up by a guy who was nothing but a goddamn rubber stamp lawyer for the oil, gas, and coal industry Scott Pruitt's one great big goddamn giant conflict of interest, walking and breathing and, you know, making phone calls from his $25,000 secure Maxwell smart phone booth in his office.
Well, the whole thing's a contradiction, but that's the point. It's a slow creep. So, you know, you bring in somebody like Scott Pruitt, who comes out of the industry, who denies global warming, keeps saying that the science isn't in, or it's just a matter of opinion, despite all the damage that's going on, has had nothing to say after these hurricanes have damaged Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, New Jersey, what have you. He has nothing to say, right? So then he turns around and comes up with a board of people who know absolutely nothing about the subject in which they're to make decisions. Knowledgeable and educated in these subjects, to have an educational background behind it, nothing, zilch. We're not going to put them in these positions because we want God to make these decisions. Now, the reason that they use that biblical bullshit, not that I think Scott Pruitt really gives a damn about something like that. I mean, Pence is a true believer, and Trump's God is Trump. But with somebody like Pruitt, it's just a matter of expediency, because to the barking mad fuckers in their clutch, in their crowd, that biblical thing means more to them than any empirical knowledge that anybody could bring to that forum. And I know that is what will be said, because I know that's what's being thought, and I know that that's what's being intended. So, you know, whether they actually believe in it or not isn't the issue. You know, the fact that they're using religion to get this across, I don't see how this is a separation of church and goddamn state. I mean, you don't have to be Marilyn Mary O'Hare to see that there's a blatant goddamn contradiction in federal law with something like this, to use a biblical statement at all, and for this to be allowed. You know, anybody who takes this to court can challenge that bullshit, and on the letter of the law have that challenge. unless, of course, you have one of these activist judges like Roy Moore.
Unless, yeah.
Then you fuck.
And so you talk about getting out the vote, there's no better example of the desperate need for unity than the upcoming special election for Senate in Alabama on December the 12th. If the community of color can get excited about a white guy Senate candidate, then he's got a chance of beating Roy Moore and putting a great big damn crack in the so-called Solid South. It would be on the level of a political earthquake if Alabama put a Democrat in the Senate.
Yeah, but you said this yourself. We were just talking about this when it comes to finances and politics. It's not a matter. We just talked about this in terms of Russian measures with the FSB, I assume, coming directly with orders from the Kremlin, buying up all these ads and trying to, twist the tail of states. Same thing here. Every place that I've seen Republicans win, they won because they had an overwhelming majority of the money in terms of being able to flood the popular media, especially the sports shows, the car things that they have in this part of the country and what have you, with just Republican, a different ad every commercial break. So they're flooding this stuff in terms of this is who you need to vote for. Not that this is the right person to vote for, but this is who you need to vote for. And I'm only mentioning this in terms of Roy Moore because I saw a report saying that he is outspending by far the Democrats.
Well, of course, because the Democrats aren't opening their goddamn wallets. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is as useless as tits on a boar. Where's the AFL-CIO with their money? There are union members, and more than you think, in a place like Alabama.
Alabama. That's a good question. But then the thing is, where's Tom Perez with a question?
Where's
like,
Move On?
What did happen to Move On?
I don't know. Last I heard, Tara sent me an email. Toward the end of October, they were sending out an email saying they were $250,000 behind on fundraising. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, thanks to Jug of Punch, Jug of Punch has given Keith a little bit of company. We're down to only $180 to go for fundraising to meet the first of the month Shirley's Bruce's challenge. Thank you, Jug. Thank you very, very much indeed. There's a whole lot of people not showing up, and I don't understand.
And a lot of people don't have money.
Well, the people I'm talking about
that's
not showing
problem.
Up have money, and you know what? I don't think there's going to. It's not going to break the DSCC to throw a chunk of change into this. Because again, Angry, it's an election in December. There's more attention being paid to the goddamn governor's race in fucking Virginia. You know what? The governor of goddamn Virginia cannot break a filibuster. The governor of New Jersey can't break a filibuster. A senator from Alabama who's a Democrat can. I mean, if he were to win, you realize he would become a senator on the, if he wins on the 12th, he becomes a senator on the 13th day of December. And Mitch McConnell has to cope with him until January the 1st, 2019.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not really sure because I haven't done the, I haven't looked it up. Who's backing Roy Moore in terms of where's he getting his money?
He's getting it all over the place. He's getting it from the evangelicals, okay? He's getting it $1, $2, $5 at a time for, so that Roy Moore can make the Senate put the Ten Commandments on display in the Senate and take America back for Jesus. Okay? The Republicans understand how goddamn important this race is. The Democrats don't. It is that simple.
well, it's because they don't, or they're really planning for 2020, because that's kind of where I think a lot of this is going.
Well, no, that's we're keeping our powder dry for 2018.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I keep hearing. But keep your powder dry for what? You've already lost your cattle.
Baby, when the fort gets overrun and the other side gets your dry powder, they use it on you.
Fuck. No, but you know what it is, too. A lot of it is just cowardice. You know this as well as that. They're really, a lot of people are just afraid of confrontation. And they really feel if they were to step this up, they wouldn't be welcome in church anymore. That has a lot to do with this. That has a lot to do with this. And we're not willing
to
talk about
that. Let me tell you something. And I tread very lightly in making a statement like this. The community of color in Alabama can outvote the Baptists. The community of color in Alabama can vote and can outvote the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians. Okay? The black population of Alabama is substantial. Now the thing is, you gotta get them interested in voting. And I'm sorry to even say them. It somehow sounds icky to me. But any group, you've got to get the vote out.
Yeah, but okay, but let's go back in time for a little bit, because this is relative. We're talking about Alabama, right? This is relative. During Reconstruction, the exact same thing you just said applied by the numbers. So why didn't things change?
Well, for a little while they did.
Well, yeah, for a little while.
Because that, you know, the capitulation on Reconstruction and the Freedmen's Bureaus was part of the compromise that put Rutherford B. Hayes in fucking office.
Yeah. But
all right, but it's happened. It's the same. We don't have to go back to Reconstruction. We can go back to 2016. Okay, this idea that in order to vote for a candidate you have to be excited about them. Fuck that. Okay?
I know, I think that's the biggest bullshit.
I'm sorry, I'm never going to be excited about Hillary Clinton, and frankly, I don't get that excited about a wild-haired dude from Vermont either. This ain't rock and roll. It's not the fucking Stones versus the Beatles, okay? Excitement doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with it. Saving your country does!
Yeah, but they're not thinking about it like that. I've talked about this with you before. I talk about it on my show. We vote for people that we like. I like Bernie Sanders. You don't know him. Yeah, but I like him. I like Hillary.
Oh, I know, and we all wanted to have a fucking beer with W, didn't we? I don't want a president I can have a beer with. I want to have a president that's about 50 times smarter than I am. And I'm 50 times smarter than Trump is.
But the point is that we've allowed politics to devolve like this.
Yeah, and we're running out of time. But the fact of the matter is, Angry, you know, we can blame the media for that. Okay, God damn Almighty, how many stories did the New York Times publish about her emails? On the one hand, during the primaries, Bernie couldn't get any decent coverage. Out of the Times, and how many times did they publish stories that they then edited and revised and revised and revised on Bernie? Bernie couldn't get any good coverage relative to Hillary during the primaries, but then once it was Hillary all the way, oh, it was one email story after another. And the previous 3 years, you know, Benghazi, 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 when anybody with half a mind knew that there was no there.
Yeah,
when the goddamn Republicans running Benghazi admitted it was nothing but an electoral strategy. But the New York Times says, well, we got to write another Benghazi story.
Yeah, so it was just a matter of flooding. And because it was there, you can't really think about anything else. And then your entire experience becomes hyper-normal. And even if you don't believe it, it's still in the back of your mind. They know what they're doing. We don't pay any attention to this. And part of that is, and anybody that's ever taken a basic psychology course in college can tell you this, people do not want to believe that they can be deceived.
Sure they don't. And that's why con artists still are a going concern. There's a great film with George C. Scott called The Flim Flam Man, who says, I don't feel bad about what I do. I provide people an education.
Yeah, but to me, a lot of this is more like Elmer Gantry, especially when you play Jeffers.
Well, the classic on this would be Mark Twain and The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg. You remember the seal of the town of Hadleyburg before the stranger arrives? Lead us not into temptation. And then after he's done with them, they change the seal of the town to lead us into temptation. Oh no, people want to think that they operate from only the purest of motives.
Man, Mark Twain would be shot in the street today. Cole. There's no way that he would have let all this stuff go by and not have said something about it.
You know, Randy in PA says, we get excited about politicians because we think that we're about to get a full loaf of bread when the best candidate will only provide one-third of a loaf and the worst candidate will only give you a crumb. And that's kind of the way politics works. Look, we get a choice. We're not operating under kingship. Yeah, I know. The purity police is out there, and they're saying there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And all they're doing is mouthing something that Ralph Nader said 17 years ago, and he was mouthing something that George Wallace said in 1968. And Strom Thurmond said in 1948, there's not a dime's worth of difference between your Republicans and your Democrats.
And that is
historical fact. But there is a choice. I'm sorry it's not the choice that we want. You know, I'm sorry one of them isn't a unicorn. But it is a choice. And here, moving into our 10th month of the Trump presidency, Angry, I think we figured out, I hope we figured out, how broad that choice actually was. There's a hell of a lot of space. There's a hell of a lot of room between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I hate the fact that you and I are sitting here relitigating it. it's irresistible. I mean, I declare a pox on both houses because I'm sick to death of getting up every morning and looking on Twitter and watching the precious Hilarians pick the scabs off the Bernie Bros and watching the Bernie Bros pick the scabs off the precious Hilarians. Fuck them both.
Well, you,
calm the fuck down.
Well,
get serious about your country and pay attention.
Yeah, but you remember how we were doing the campaign trail. You know, my attack was, no, we really shouldn't have to vote for Hillary, and I'm kind of conceding that I'm willing to go along with Sanders. But the bottom line is, Hillary shouldn't have been up there in the first place if the party had any integrity. And, you know, and I'm saying, and I've been saying this, and I'll continue to say this, the rank and file need to take over the goddamn party. Now, if that sounds too fucking communist for people, that's too motherfucking bad. But the bottom line is, you can't claim ownership of some shit that you don't actually motherfucking control. So,
right,
yeah,
and look, I mean, I'm not going. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not being argumentative with you, but I'm agreeing with you by half. I think after she lost to Barack Obama, somebody should have sat her down and said, and I've said this a million times before, ma'am, you just lost to a black dude whose middle name was Hussein. Okay, people don't. You know, no, just forget it. But they didn't, because she had done a very, very good job. And I acknowledge good work where it's done, Angry. She had built relationships over the course of two freaking decades that she damned well intended to put to use. She felt a calling, okay, to use the language of the evangelical movement. She felt a calling. She felt like there was a purpose, and her purpose was to be president of the United States. And that's fine. And that's okay. And she built those relationships, and it wasn't based on corruption. It was built on personal relationships. And that is why that's why the South, in Democratic primaries, which still makes no sense to me, that's why the South served as the bulwark to keep Bernie Sanders from being able to be a real threat to her. She had real, on-the-ground, real-time
relationships with people engaged in electoral politics in places like Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee and Louisiana, okay? Bernie did not. Our buddy Eric Bjorn in South Carolina came on this program and said straight up that Bernie's operation in South Carolina was one of the biggest clusterfucks he'd ever seen in his life.
Oh, he admitted that afterwards.
I mean, he had a team of grifters and losers that would have rivaled the Washington Generals for being inept and paid to lose. So there, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there, but you know, you can't change the past. But we know all these things. So how do we change? Because the future isn't here yet. The future can yet be changed by what we do in the present. And my argument is the one thing we can do in the present is pour energy and time and money into that Alabama Senate race, and it won't take a lot of any of it. If there was some way for me to walk away from the program and just take a sabbatical for a month, if there was some way for me to keep the bills paid and the lights on here, I would be in Alabama knocking on doors for Doug Jones. And I don't do that for just anybody.
But that's my point. If Tom Perez cannot get the DNC as an institution to support an important race like this, then the people need over the fucking party. They wanted Sanders, whether he was the best man or not. That's the fucking point. Everybody ended up having to concede. Okay, I guess we have to go with Clinton. You just have to go with Clinton because, I would have probably gone with Sanders, but the DNC didn't.
Wait a minute, Angry. It's not like Bernie had some majority that got steamrolled. He lost to her by 3 million votes, and those 3 million votes could be found in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, like I just mentioned.
Got that. But we also just finished earlier that the Republicans are winning, that these Nazis too, but the Russians are doing what they're doing by they have money, and they're flooding. Because they have the money with influence. Same thing in the DNC. The DNC machine did not want Sanders, even though everybody I spoke to wanted Sanders. I don't know anybody behind.
Well, of course the DNC didn't want Sanders. Of course the DNC didn't want Sanders. The DNC was a machine that was built to make Hillary Clinton the president of the United States, and it had been built as such from the moment that Barack Obama no longer had to run for president. It was a purpose-built machine.
So is that what the DNC wanted or what the people wanted? I'm asking what the file said they wanted, what Sanders talking about. The DNC said, fuck you, we're going to put in...
But they didn't say that. They didn't say that. She won.
Because she didn't get up there. You just finished saying that Sanders got no press. So how can anybody make an informed decision if they don't even know who he is? That was the whole point of the rapper who was taking him throughout the black community, because nobody knew who he was. They're all watching Fox News.
And that's what happens when somebody's got a machine that they've been running for 15, 20 years, and you've got a machine that started 6 months before.
That doesn't mean that the one that has all the machinery is the right one, does it?
No, it just means that they put in the work.
What happened?
It just means they've done the work. I mean, everybody seems to forget that when he announced his candidacy, Bernie said this is an uphill climb that we probably won't win.
Well, why did he say that? Because he's an open socialist in his state who had to concede and go by Democratic Party lines. He was coming from behind no matter how. But they did not give him a fair shake, and we just finished saying that earlier. So if the DNC... They were here in the Pacific Northwest. Nobody was talking about Clinton. There was not the standing room only. They had to turn people away, which means that the rank and file wanted something else.
Because California, Washington, and Oregon were low-hanging fruit that could be counted on to reliably vote for her, so you don't waste your resources on places that you know you're going to win going away. That was the thing.
I don't think he heard me. Everybody got Bernie. the only people that were supporting Clinton were the usual mainstream Democrats. Anybody else that wanted something actually different was talking about Bernie.
I understand that.
There weren't that there were Hillary stickers where I live.
I understand.
Bernie
that.
Stickers.
I understand. God knows there were no Hillary signs here, but we'll have to save the rest of this for another time. Angry, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
All right, man. And so, hey, thanks to the last chap that was able to send in some cash. You know, I know it's hard out here. I know. But if you can support this show in any way, please do so. Peace.
Thanks, Angry. And that's a fact. If you're listening to this program on the podcast or whatever, we did not meet the challenge. We've got $180 to go. And I'm saying this to people who are listening and who aren't subscribers or whatever, but that's where we are, and this is, you know, the challenge matters. So I'm out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for participating in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening to Midweek Utility Pinch Hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.